he's going to do with your life what you can't do for yourself. So praise God. And the Lord's not telling me share anything more about that right now, but if he does, I will let you know. Hallelujah. So we are going to talk about wisdom. We'll talk about walking in wisdom this morning. We're going to talk about some things concerning that. And let's go and see some things. Let's read some scripture. Right now, let's go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And then we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to read that in the Good News Bible. You know, it's you know, they say it's a watered-down version, but it tells you exactly what you need to know about that, what that, the point is. You know, how many people know the Scripture is so faceted in the multi-situational way that you can look at a Scripture and get so many meanings out of just one Scripture? There's so many sides to a Scripture. So when you think you know a Scripture, please don't think that's all there is about that. There's so much more. The Word of God is inexhaustible. You can't just take out one thing and just say, I know that Scripture. There's so much more to it. Let's read these two Scriptures and we'll go to prayer and pray about what we're going to do here. So we're going to talk about specifically what I thought I would name this, and you know, my thing always changes here. Dealing wisely in the affairs of life. I hear music. Is that you, Lord? Okay. So dealing with the affairs of life. Let me just tell you something. I was talking to a lady yesterday. She said, you know what? She says to me, she's sitting across from me, and I was eating my meal, and she said, I watch your program. I like you. I like what you're doing. I like what you said. You know, I said, you're so funny. I said, I don't mean to be funny, but things come out that way. Right? And the other day, I went to get some coffee at the Robin's Donuts just by the college, and I'm getting my coffee. A lady recognized my voice. I know that voice. I watch her on television, she said to me. And she said, you know what? I love your stories about chicken. So anyway, if you don't know about it, you might have to watch the program. But anyway, let's start all over again. Turn, please. Reading Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Okay. It says this, I'm reading the King James. This book of the law, this is talking about this here, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, the Good News Bible. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever else you get insight. And today I want to talk about my whole idea this morning is that wisdom comes from God and God alone. And if you want to be successful in the affairs of life, you have to consider first what God has to say about every detail in your life. Every detail. And consider that first. Ask yourself a question. If you come to a difficult place, I learned this from a mentor I greatly admire, and said this, if you come to a hard place in your life, ask yourself this question. What does God's word have to say about my situation? What does it have to say first? Instead of going to people, get a scripture and say, this is what God says about it. Wisdom to deal with the affairs of life is found in the word of God. There are many people who are no doubt making decisions right this second about life situations and applying certain ideas and thoughts to their life. Sometimes very intelligent people are making situations worse than they are by not applying the wisdom of God to their lives. They think they know the right answer because they're going by what they feel or what they think or what somebody else said or what the majority of people say Or do they think they know what they're supposed to do because they are clever, intelligent, and relying on their insight, their personal insight? The Bible reminds us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do not just trust your mind. Don't trust your mind. We know this story about the Israelites, and God told them, go over to the land and take the land. Found in Numbers 13 that he said, go and take the land. They said, where? They saw the land. They saw the situation. They begin to analyze the situation according to their ability from what they're looking at, the situation from where they stand. And how many people know that when you look at a situation, you're not standing alone? You're standing from a different heavenly position than your own status or life. When you look at it from God's way, things will look a whole lot different. If you're looking at death, don't look at it just from the medical profession. Look at it from the standpoint of what God said. If you want money or situations that you can't seem to have money to get things done, look to what God says. I'll supply all your needs. And so, some people, whether you're intelligent or you're just a simpleton or somebody that's very simple in life, you don't have very much intelligence, the result will be the same thing. You'll end up in the same place if you don't use God's wisdom. You don't have to be a smart person to find the wisdom of God. You just need to be an open person, an open-minded person, a willing person, someone who will listen to God. Now, it's God who gives wisdom. It's from Him that comes knowledge and understanding, the Good News says. Having wisdom is primarily the most important thing that you can have in life. Solomon, the writer of the Proverbs, said, get wisdom, it's the most important thing. In Proverbs 4:7, many people are being decimated in life because they don't possess wisdom. We are told not to be thoughtless in the New Testament or too quick in making important decisions. If you want to be successful in the affairs of life, consider what God has to say in every one of the details of your life. Solomon said getting wisdom, I want to mention again, it's the most important thing, and yet people are not heeding to that. The scripture says that God moved upon holy men of God in old times to write scriptures down for us so that we can have the mind and thoughts of God, and we need to use these. Paul said to his young protege named Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Solomon was the richest man alive who had great possessions. He had great wealth. He had honor. He had achievements. And still, wisdom, he said, was the most important thing to have in your life. He had all the pleasures in the world at his fingertips. And yet he said wisdom was the highest priority that anyone can want to have in life. Just imagine, and yet many still are seeking after riches and honor and power and position rather than God's wisdom in their lives. As Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, or principal, meaning it's the main thing. It's the one scripture says, wisdom is the supreme thing. Wisdom is the supreme thing. So you need to know that wisdom is important. You need to apply wisdom in your life for everything in your life. Consider about what wisdom is. Now, when we think about what wisdom is, what is the meaning of wisdom? One dictionary says that wisdom is the quality or the state of being wise. How many wise men out there? We got lots of wise people. Y'all shave you. Knowledge of what is true. Wisdom is the knowledge of what is true. right, coupled with just judgment, or the ability to act wisely, to put a knowledge to work. You know, just having knowledge alone is not enough. God told Joshua to think after God's thoughts, and then he would become successful in every area of life. Young's translation of Joshua 1:8 says this. That's what he says in there, that, the Amplified Bible says this: in the book of the law, or the book of the law, does not depart out of your mouth. In other words, you need to keep the word of God, keep saying what God says about things. Say what he says. And should not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. That means you're going to continually think about these. Put it in your mind. Change your mind. Wash your mind. Renew your mind with God's word. Day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success, or thou shalt act wisely. The Amplified says, thou shalt act wisely. You know, we need to act wise in these days. Amen? We just want to be wise guys. We want to just act wisely. You know, the way you can start is just look forward, chin up, back straight, and look forward. Pretend that you're wise. They say wise is a novel. They say, but owls are actually stupid. That's what somebody told me. You know, they're not really smart, but they look kind of wise. So just trying to look like a wise owl. Amen. I can see some of you have a good practice right now. You're just batting your eyes once in a while. You know, you ever see an owl? Ever see a real owl? I used to have an owl. They used to come back in the fall where we used to live, and they would come jump by and look at you. And they just pull their, you know, they kind of, their neck goes right around. You ever notice that? Well, you can do the same thing. pretend you're wise, looking back and forward. So notice the last few words of that, verse 8 again. He says, act wisely. So God wants you to act wisely in the affairs of life. He don't want you to be, I'm reading one verse that, you know, God doesn't want you to act stupid. You're not supposed to say stupid in church. But that's what I learned from Craig Hagin. He always says, you know, he got a book called Don't Be Stupid. He wrote a book called Don't Be Stupid. So I'm going to read that book. So wisdom, knowledge, and insight. We need to have these. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts and data. That's what knowledge is. You can gain all kinds of information. All kinds of facts and data that you have learned or have experienced. So many people here have experience in their life. You can chalk that down about knowledge. You know, I can gain knowledge from anybody here about different situations, and I can take that knowledge and apply it to my own life and say, you know what? I'm not going to touch that fire with my hand, my bare hand. I'm not going to drink a hot tea in bed or eat cookies in bed. I'm not going to, because they said it's bad to eat cookies in bed. How many of you ate cookies in bed? Yeah? I see, I'm telling you, these guys are not wise. Okay. Do you play with matches under the covers? Okay, you better not do that. So his mom told him not to have matches. You know, when we were kids, we didn't have flashlights on the reserve. We had matches. You know, those big buffalo matches. They call them buffalo matches. Remember those? How many of you remember the buffalo matches, yeah? And it takes two people to try to grab one and just... You take those buffalo matches and you light it and you under the covers. Well, that's not wise, especially if you got that horse blanket and just go up and fast, you know. You know, yeah, that Hudson Bay blanket just goes like crazy. All of a sudden, you got no hair on your face, and eyebrows are gone, part of you. So, but anyways, it's knowledge is all about facts and data and the accumulation of knowledge, important things that you learn. Having information is knowledge. Knowledge is really about facts, about ideas we acquire through life and study, research and investigation, observation and experiences. But wisdom is the ability to discern and judge which aspect that knowledge of knowledge is true and right and lasting to apply for you, to your life. Like, not all information is going to be useful for you. Or you might have knowledge about something, but it not, might not be the right time to apply something in your life. I mean, you know, you got to take information, and you got to know when to apply it. You know, I learned from older men in the ministry, just because you know something, you don't have to tell everybody what you know. Unless God tells you, unless they ask you for information. Not everybody's going to be ready for you. In fact, God told some of his disciples, if they don't receive you, just go to the next place. He never asked us to argue about salvation or anything. If people don't want to fight with you, don't talk to them about it. Just go to somebody else. Don't waste your time. Don't argue all on Facebook. You know, I have lots of friends on there. None of them never argue with me. If they do, I just get rid of them. not very many of them. So if you haven't seen me for a while, guess what? I said, I wonder what happened to Pastor Rumas. he deleted me. See, that's wisdom. You know? No, not very many times. I've kind of got rid of some people because they started attack me. I don't want to be attacked. Why would I want to open that up and let people attack me? You're gone. You're out of there. So anyway, people, we don't have to tell everybody everything we know. Or you don't have to apply information immediately in your life. You got to know the right time to apply. You got to have wisdom to apply something. And so around here, we try to do that. We have lessons. Monthly, we're going to go back to monthly again. I've been teaching on leadership stuff since 2000. We got back from college. You know, this year is going to be the 20th year since we got back from Rhema, and we've been here for 20 years. This is a brand new church we started, and when we started, the Lord came back and said, I want you to start a brand new church. So we started this new church called Faith City Church, and we're just getting started. We're in the infancy stages of our development. And I don't know if anybody, you can criticize me what you want. I'm the only Word of Faith pastor in this city, and far reaching from here to I don't know where else. And Word of Faith churches are very far and few between churches. And the devil keeps telling me that we're insignificant. We're not. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm here to stay. And before you know it, there's gonna be more of you. You're dangerous, people, to the devil. And we're not going anywhere. You know, when we first started, they told me, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, but we've gone in spite of what people said. Amen. And don't let devil discourage you about this church. This church is powerful. Yes. It's going places. Amen? Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God. We're going to touch lives, more lives, and people are not going to die because we're here. And people are going to go forward, not backwards. I was in my bedroom. I woke up this morning. I opened my eyes. I was saying, I'm above, not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. Amen. I'm going over, not going under. I was saying that in my spirit. Was saying that in me. I'm prophesying to myself. Hallelujah. Out of my spirit shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. It's coming out of me. It's coming out of me. Glory to God. Come on. Get yourself excited. Slap yourself. Do something. Amen. Praise God. I'm not much of a preacher. But when I do, you should encourage me. I'm more of a, you know, pretty slow and, you know, try to take things early. Because, you know, I listened to Brother Hagin. You know, he's not much of a, you know, preacher like that. Kenneth Hagin Jr. is the preacher. And Mark Hagin's the preacher. When I listen to Mark Hagin's, I'm like this. That's what happens to me when I listen to Mark Hagin's. And so I have to slow down. How many of you know Mark Hagin's? One day we came to, we were at a camp meeting, and we went to, Krispy Kreme, and our girls were with us, and Mark was there buying a box of those cookies, or what is it, donuts. So he's eating them. He says, "You want one?" So and Hannah and Natasha was there. She says, "No." And so she's anxious to want to leave. She want to, didn't want to talk to Mark. Mark says, "Yeah, I'm not that important to you." You know, just teasing her, right? And so she says, "You know, of course, you know, we all of us, we're older. We love to get closer to these guys, right? But sometimes, you know, when you're younger, you don't appreciate." I was talking to another guy. He said, "You know, some of our younger folks don't appreciate Brother Higgin. It's like, you know, when with Joseph, they knew not Joseph. You know that scripture? How many know what that when we mean? They knew not Joseph. Joseph was the wisest man in Egypt because he rose up to the second command, right? And he made all the decisions and kept people alive, you know, and stored things and had great wisdom and applied different things. But when he died, and all the people who rose up didn't know him after, didn't know who he was. Praise God. But you know, recognize your elders. So whenever I come, just say, well, watch out, he's coming." Okay, we got to get serious around here. Wisdom. So, in a nutshell, if knowledge is information, wisdom is understanding and application of that knowledge, and insight is awareness of the underlying essence of truth. You say, "What did he say? I don't know what I said." But you have to learn how to apply knowledge properly. I think we said that last week. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge properly. So, sadly, we can gain a lifetime of knowledge and yet never see the wisdom in it. So, you can gain lots of knowledge and yet never see the wisdom involved in it. We can be wise but still miss a deeper meaning of different things. Christopher Reeves did a great job of summing up the difference between knowledge. He says, knowledge is measuring that a desert path is 12.4 miles long. Wisdom is packing enough water for that hike. You know, you could know something, but you need more information than that. You need to know how to apply something. Insight is building a lemonade stand at every 6 miles. So you got, it's even better, you know. You got insight, insight is more clear, it's more deeper understanding of applying that knowledge. You know, it's important that we have this kind of information at our fingertips because God knows how to give you insight. You know, you might see something, but God will slowly give you insight for certain things. Some people are not wise at all. Being old doesn't necessarily qualify you and make you wise immediately. Just being living a number of years doesn't mean you're wise. You know, a lot of people know people who look at an elder person and say, "You know, that's not wise." Just being old or being an older Christian doesn't mean you're wise. Or having a high academic standing, going to university and having all kinds of degrees doesn't mean you're wise. It doesn't mean automatic wisdom. It means that potentially you can have wisdom. So, we see people every day in our lives, even older people or people who are educated, they make stupid decisions, cause a lot of trouble, cause a lot of situations that are harmful and you know, maybe cause trouble in life for other people. Wise people take time to research, while unwise people rush into things without adequate knowledge, without insight. Here's what Proverbs 12 and 15, the good news says. Stupid people always think they are right. Wise people listen to advice. Wisdom is compared to no other according to the Word of God. It says here in Proverbs 8, chapter 8, verse 11, he says, "I am wisdom. I am better than jewels. Nothing you want can compare with me," the good news says. Proverbs 8:11 in the Amplified says, for skillful and godly wisdom is better than rubies or pearls. Well, rubies and pearls, I would mind have a few of those today. Rubies and pearls, but it says in there that wisdom is better. If you're on your deathbed right now, what's a Ruby going to do if you don't know how to get healed? Amen? And I was thinking about something Pastor Higgins said in his preaching. He said, you know, I know a pastor and a church, they built this nice church and they didn't have insurance for some reason. I don't know what they did. They didn't have insurance. They're going to about to celebrate and have a great time, but the church burnt down. Well, you might think that's funny, but it is kind of funny. But not for them. They lost everything. I remember Dr. Frederick Casey Price. I don't know if you know anybody remember Dr. Fred Price. And, you know, he was talking about sharing his story about insight and stuff. He said, you know, when they were building the Faith Dome over there in California, we went to visit it. My wife and I went to Casey Price Church and visited that place. Nice, huge place. I think it felt 10,000 people in that auditorium. It's a round building right in the ghetto area. And they built it. They said they could never do it, and yet they did it. And they paid for it very quickly. But that was before something else happened. He gained wisdom. He said he put down so many hundreds of thousands of dollars on the property to get this one place. And then ends up losing the whole thing. You know, that would make you want to quit, to lose millions of dollars on property. And some people kill themselves, just do weight themselves because they lose money. But wisdom says God has more. You can apply more knowledge. You know, and I always use this story about, I don't know how much truth is involved in this. Maybe Ernie will know better than I about the, you know, was it Colonel Sanders? He said he went broke, six times? Is that true? And finally he became a millionaire in his 80s or late 60s or something like that. Is that true? Go ahead and Google it. But not right now. But he lost, you know, he lost all his money. And some of you are going to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken right after service here. And this is brought to you by the friends and partners of Kentucky Fried Chicken. But just because he lost something didn't mean he's going to, you know, he got born again, right? And God gave him wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank God for wisdom. So only God can give you wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says that it is the Lord who gives wisdom. From him comes knowledge and understanding. God is the one that can give you wisdom for life. And Pastor Higgin always says, every morning I wake up and every morning, and I'm blessed God, I ask the Lord, you know, for wisdom. I got missionaries all over the world. And he says, I ask wisdom all the time. I ask God for wisdom. And so he says, some of you guys think, you know, Leonard and I, you know, just woke up, you know, had all this stuff. But you know, he prayed for wisdom. Ask for wisdom every day. I'm sure people are copying me too, so I don't mind. I always do my best copying different people, like, you know, Mark Hankins, you know. Yeah, he laughs, you know. It makes you laugh, you know. So I thank God that I'm not a comedian full-time. I'd lose. So good news for chapter 1, verse 7 says, to have knowledge, you must first have to revere the Lord. You have to revere the Lord. Stupid people have no respect for wisdom and refuse to learn, the good news says. So we need to have reverence for God and his word. And you know, we need to respect this word. You see, this is God speaking to us. Look at it and read it in the morning and at night. You know, I read the Bible, like I told my wife and I made a commitment since 1998. Miss Lynette Higgin gave us a Bible. And she said, you know, this is for your everyday reading. So when we were students, and she gave us all the students the Bible. We were 2,200 students at the Bible College, at Rhema Bible College. And she gave us all a Bible to read. And so since 1998, we read through the Bible every year. You know, just read it, besides, of course, our own study and, you know, our own reading. So we do that every year. So read the scripture. You know, even if you don't understand it, it's going to come back to you. God's going to give you something when you need it. So it's important to go to the scriptures to get wisdom. You know, there's two kinds of wisdom, the Bible says. Two kinds of wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 13. And there's two kinds of wisdom in the New Testament. In the epistles, James, the half-brother of the Lord, had to say, this is what he had to say, a wise man, who is a wise man? Let's go to verse 13. Who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where there is envying and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above. Everybody say, wisdom from above. So if the Bible says there's wisdom from above, then there's got to be wisdom from below. And he talks about earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom, he said, it's sensual. It's devilish. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. You see, you know, you need to be merciful. You need to be full of compassion. You need to be easily to for people to get to you, to come to you. If you're a wise person, allow yourself to be open so that people can talk to you. Don't just look mean all the time, because that person, somebody might be able to give you something you need in life. Don't push people away, because people, you need people, and they'll help you with different things. They'll help you to make sense out of life, especially good people. There are people who are there people among you who are wise and understanding, the scripture says. But he talks about in there that two kinds of wisdom. There's people, there's natural wisdom, demonically inspired wisdom. People who are acting, mean and all that, fighting all the time. That's you know, if you're going to act that way, that's not wise. That's not wisdom. When you're mean to people, when you're saying bad things to people, when you're always unfriendly and stuff, that's not wisdom at all. You know, it can save you thousands of dollars and years of anxiety and trouble if you just apply the wisdom of God. So ask God for wisdom. As I mentioned, our pastor says, you know, he starts out every day by asking God for wisdom. He prays and he says, God, help me to succeed in every day of my life. Help me with my wife. Help me with my children. Help me with my ministry. Help me with my planning. Help me in every area of my life. Lord, what should I do here? And James 1:5, the good news says, but if any of you lack wisdom, you should pray to God, who will give it to you. Because God gives generously and graciously to all. So God will give you wisdom. If you pray and ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you. Here's what it says in Proverbs 8:33-35. Solomon says this, the smartest man in the world. He says here, I mean, he was smart. How many of you say, I'm the smartest man in my world? You know. So he says here, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily. Everybody say daily. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me finds life and obtains favor of the Lord. Like if you got wisdom, you know, you're gonna find life, the meaning of life. You're gonna have the life of God, the Zoe kind of God, life of God, and you'll obtain favor of the Lord. God will give you favor. Glory to God. When things don't open, there'll be an opening for you. We have some of our Bible school students over in the, where's that place again? They're in Peru. You know what city that is? They're in the mountains somewhere. They've got, I see Pastor Glenn and Ed Wesley, the two Wesley boys, they're wearing Spirit Alive jackets on the mountain. So Spirit Alive is being represented on a mountain in Peru. Praise God. Who would ever think about that? I don't know. So, you know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, you can read it at home on your time. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 to 12. You know, Solomon, when he became king, he asked God for, he said, I want to have wisdom. Give me wisdom to deal with leading your people. Now listen to this. He said, give me wisdom to dealing with this situation. And God says, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to grant you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you something you never asked for. He said, I'm going to give you wealth and honor and long life. He said, you didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for wealth. You didn't ask for your enemy's life. You didn't ask for all the, you didn't ask God to kill his enemies and destroy them. But you said you just asked for wisdom to deal with all these situations. I'm sure he had all kinds of people that wasn't friendly with him, because he, you know, he's wise. And so the Bible says that God gave him more than he bargained for. So I want to encourage you today to pray to God and ask God for this wisdom. So let's go ahead and read this, and we're going to close very shortly here. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 to 12. Let's read these scriptures. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy to my father David my father. Thou hast made me to reign instead in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this people, thy people, that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because that was in thine heart, that thou hast not asked riches and wealth and honor, nor life of thine enemies, neither yet thou hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, thou mayest judge thy people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have ever had that have been before thee, neither thou shalt there any after thee have the like. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 to 12. So, listen, in Ephesians chapter 5, the scripture in verse 50 to 7 says this. See, you walk circumspectly. Everybody say circumspectly. Did anybody ever tell you that? Listen, son. Walk circumspectly. No one's ever asked me that before. No one told me that before. But I'm sure, you know, I'm going to show you this right now. He said, not as fools. But you probably heard that. Don't be a fool. But as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So here's what the Common English Bible says. For all the Common English Bible people, I want you to say amen. Okay. So be careful to live your life wisely, not foolishly. So he's saying to be careful not to live your lives like a fool. You know, what do they do? So take advantage of every opportunity because of these evil times, because of this. Don't be ignorant. You know, we need information, we need knowledge to apply to our lives. Don't be ignorant, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understanding, you need to have insight in terms of applying whatever knowledge to your life. So there's pieces of things that you need in your life to apply right now. He says, don't be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God wants us to know the will of God for every detail of our lives. He is interested in everything about you. He's interested about your hair. Thank God. About you know, you think about what God's interested in my hair. Well, he is. Some of you need to wash your hair once in a while. First of all, you know, I went to the mall yesterday. You know, I'm the kind of guy with sensitivity with smell. I was being slapped around with everywhere, walking there. My Pastor Ken says, you know, Pastor, he says, Pastor, you can smell people from a mile. So I can go to my office and say, he was here, she was here. Well, this is a running joke in the church here, the people who work with me. And so I come into the place, and I'm like my dog. I can smell things. I can tell if you're near my house. I know yesterday, you came by my house yesterday, right? See, I smelled her. Yeah. And you thought the dog was barking, but I was the one that was barking. She's a mail carrier. That's why, yeah, she came to my house. But, you know, if she's, don't bring any bum those bills. But anyway, we need to have, only God can give you this knowledge. You can pray the prayer in book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 22. Pray, Lord, I pray that give me insight and knowledge and wisdom for these things. And I've been praying that for this church. I've been praying that for you. I've been praying that for my partners and friends across Canada. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you impart wisdom to every person. There's people out there, they need wisdom for their children and family. They need wisdom to dealing in their marriage. There are people that need to deal with wisdom in their finances. And they need to have wisdom for their businesses. So I'm praying for you. I'm believing God. Let's all stand right now. And let's trust God for wisdom for every area of our lives. Let's not be foolish. Or the good news says stupid. But we're going to be wise. We're going to be wise. God says to be wise. As doves? Is it doves? Or serpents? Okay, is doves wise too? Okay, so I don't know. So we're going to be slippery as serpents. Harmless as a serpent. Okay, as a dove. Okay, so... We don't want to... Everybody doesn't like serpents. Hallelujah. How many of you have wisdom? Well, the Bible says Jesus has made unto us wisdom, sanctification, redemption, and righteousness. He's not only your righteousness, but he's also your wisdom, and he lives inside you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He's in you right now. Amen? He's in you right now. He's getting you ready. Someone wrote to me this morning and said, Pastor Roma, are you back in the city? I said, yes, I am. I wonder if you could agree with me this morning. I need wisdom. I need direction in my life. And said, I'm planning on leaving this city. I'm moving over here. But I feel I don't want to go back there. I said, you know, first of all, God has prompted you on the inside. He's not giving you peace about going over here. You need to obey that prompting. Some of you right now, God has been leading you in a certain direction, and you don't feel at peace with it. But I want to tell you, there's peace and joy. And sometimes, you know, that witness on the inside, there's joy in there. There's like, ooh, I can't wait to do this. Woo. And on the inside of me. Just check it out. Check it out. On the inside. God has already given you wisdom for your health. He's given you wisdom for your finances. He's given you wisdom for your marriage. He's given you wisdom in every area of life. He's doing it right now. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus right now. We're asking you, we're standing here, we're committing ourselves to you, we're submitting our lives to you again. Oh Lord, help us. We pray. Help us to make the right decision. And so we're going to make some other decisions now. And so we ask you for wisdom in dealing with this situation. I want to have the joy on the inside of me. I want to have that peace on the inside of me of this decision coming up. So thank you for leading me. Thank you for directing me. And I know you're interested in every detail of my life, because you said so in your word that you're interested in every detail of my life. And so, Lord, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus before your holy angels and before this people and before all the demons that might hear me. That you got this. You got this for me. You've done it for me. I claim in the name of Jesus that right choices shall be made and will be made. I pray that each plan the enemy has, that no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. I pray in righteousness you shall reign and rule in your own life. I pray that the wisdom of God you'll know in no time, and everything that has been planned against you will wash away like a flood. Oh, the gentleness of the Holy Spirit is leading you and directing you in every area of life, spirit, soul, and body. Family-wise, financially, relationship, children, material, land, business, school, marriage, in the name of Jesus, every area of life, healing, health, prosperity. Oh, praise your Lord God. Thank you for the plan of God. In the name of Jesus, it shall be done, and it will be done. Everybody say, thank God. I have wisdom. I have understanding. I have insight. With every eye closed, head bowed, if there's somebody in this room right now, you said, Lord, I need to come back to Jesus. I've been a Christian, but I've been away from God. Or maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. This is a time afforded to you by God Himself to hear this message, to hear it, have this opportunity to come to God. If you're watching online, if that's you, and if there's somebody here today, right now, you say, God, I want to make a deeper dedication. I'm tired of making the same old mistakes and coming to the same result. I want life as you have it. You will just say this prayer. Say, dear God in heaven, I thank you right now. I have this opportunity to come to you. I give you my life unreservedly, without any hesitation, to change anything in there that's not desirable. So I want to thank you for pointing me in the right direction and putting the right people inside of me, giving the right resourcing. I thank you right now. I stand in your presence, holy, unblemished, and pure before you because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you that I'm born again. I confess you as my Lord, my Savior. I confess you as my Redeemer, my Financer, my blessed Savior in every area. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. Well, I want you to go outside from this church and say hi to somebody, hug somebody, tell them we love you, we appreciate you. And those of you that are watching live, we'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.